Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here this morning. Hope everybody had a good last week, and we look forward to a new week. And we get to start that with worship service, be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. So we're thankful that we can be here, and we're able to do this morning. Just to have, I know one announcement. I know of John Dugan texted me this morning, said he's really down in his back. So he's really in a lot of pain. He said he's been to a chiropractor a few times, and it gets a little better, then it gets worse again. So he's kind of, he's not able to get out, not really able to sit like this. So just if you hadn't heard that, he's really down in the back. So let's keep him in our prayers. And any of other of our loved ones that we know that are struggling either with health issues, whether it be physically or mentally or spiritually, whatever that is, let's make sure that we keep all of our loved ones in our prayers every time that we can go to God in prayer. But again, it's good to see everybody here this morning. As we prepare to begin our worship service this morning, if you would, bow with me for a word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day that you blessed us with, and thankful for this time that we can gather here this morning, that we can join in our thoughts and our hearts and our minds and our voices as we praise you in spirit and in truth, dear Lord. We're thankful that we can be here and we can assemble here this morning to be able to praise you and worship you, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we're mindful of all of our loved ones who aren't able to be with us here this morning. Please be with them and help whatever their situation is to be remedied as soon as possible as you will, dear Lord. Specifically, we ask prayers for Brother John Dugan this morning, that his back pain be eased and the doctors can find a way to help alleviate that pain, dear Lord. But please be with him and please help him to get better soon and be with his family as well as they tend to him as he needs, dear Lord. Please be with all of our loved ones that aren't able to get around as easily as maybe they once could, dear Lord. Please be with them and give them strength to be able to get around. And we always ask that you please always give us encouragement, dear Lord, to get through the trials that we face each day of our life, dear Lord. As we come to you in this worship service this morning, please help us to have our minds and our thoughts focused on what we're doing, because we love to be able to worship you, dear Lord, and help us to do that with our whole heart and with our whole mind. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. In Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's what we're here to do here this morning, is to be able to worship God. And the songs this morning are going to be reflective of that, to be able to glorify our God. There's two verses in particular that I pulled my songs from, Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. I just think that's a great set of verses there at the end of Jude, and specifically the three songs I've chosen before Brother Bobby's lesson, where it says to be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. So our three songs are going to kind of hit those three things. So our first song this morning about the glory of God and the glory that he is due, we're going to sing number 44, to God be the glory. We're going to sing all three verses. All right, let's sing.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, when buried with Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen. What a great song to start service off with. That's awesome. So we talk about the majesty that is due. We're going to sing number 538, aptly named the song is Majesty. Let's sing.
Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Amen. The song before Brother Bobby's lesson this morning, we talk about the dominion and authority of God. We're going to sing number 45, Come Thou Almighty King.
Come thou, almighty King, help us thy name to sing. Help us to praise, Father, all glorious, for all victorious. Come and reign over us, ancient of days. Come thou in gird on thy mighty sword, our prayer attend. blessed. Come and thy people bless, and give thy word success. Spirit of holiness on us descend. O Lord our God, to thee the highest praises be. It's evermore thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore.
Amen. We'll turn the service over to Brother Bobby.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see each one of you today. Good to be able to be here and worship together. That's not everybody is that fortunate today. One congregation down in Alabama that I'm familiar with, I used to work there for about 7.5 years. They have about 15 people now, I think, that's tested positive for the virus within the last week or so. And when they opened back up, they did not use the masks like they needed to, and they did not distance one another as they should. And now they've got about 15 people there. Matter of fact, I think they have shut down for a few weeks until they kind of get the virus settled down. So it is something that is serious. It's something we need to think seriously about and do the best we can to try to keep it from spreading to other people and giving it to somebody else. Matter of fact, my youngest sister and her husband have both tested positive for the virus in that congregation, plus the preacher and his wife and several other couples in that congregation down in Alabama. But today is day 12 since I was with any of those people from down there, and I haven't felt any adverse conditions, so maybe I'm past that and fail to contact that in the way that it would affect me while I was down in Alabama. Carla's prayers probably helped out. She told me that she prayed that God would put me in a bubble to where it couldn't get to me. So maybe that helped out. Whatever it was, I so far have not taken the virus and hope that I don't. Today we're going to be talking about self-confidence. You know, we've been talking about the challenges that we have in walking the straight and narrow way, and walking that difficult way, as it talks about, some translations would say. If you look up the word confidence in the Webster's Dictionary, it says firm belief, trust, reliance, the fact of being or feeling certain, assurance, belief in one's ability to do something. Self-confidence is the thing that we're talking about this morning. And so that'll give you a little bit of an idea as to what we're talking about as far as confidence is concerned. The challenges of walking the narrow way are many. And they're not all alike. And every day, the devil brings another to us. And it may be different from yesterday. It may be just a little bit stronger than yesterday. But every day of our life, there are challenges that we face. And Satan sees to it that they're there. Now, these are not some earth-shattering things we're talking about. They're just simple, everyday things that each one of us see every day, each one of us are faced with almost every day. Not all of these, but one of these that we're faced with that Satan tries to tempt us with. Now, I want to start out by asking you a question this morning. If you were going to have open heart surgery or some real serious surgery of some kind, would you want a surgeon that was confident in his ability to perform the surgery, or would you want somebody that was unsure of his skills? I think that the answer is evident there. You'd want somebody that knew what they were doing. You see people going all over the country. There are people who travel to Mayo Clinic and different places that are outstanding, and they're known for certain areas, certain diseases. And if someone is sick with that serious disease, they want to find the best doctor that they can find, one that has more confidence that he's able to handle that situation. And so this is what we're talking about today, only from a spiritual standpoint. I don't think there's any doubt but what we'd want the one with the most confidence if we were having surgery. Well, every Christian needs to learn to have self-confidence. I need to have confidence in myself to be able to to feel that I can get up here this morning and open the Bible and read the Scripture and teach to you things that will help you to be what God wants you to be and would help me to be what God wants me to be. It's especially true when it comes to our eternal destiny. We need to have confidence in our ability to do what God would have us to do. If we're doing what God tells us to do, then there's no reason for us to doubt that heaven will be our home. If we do what God says, then Jesus has promised that there's a place waiting for us and that we'll be where He is at the right hand of God. Now, isn't that a wonderful promise that He makes unto us and a wonderful assurance that we have that when we do what God says, that we have a home waiting for us? But you know, there's some struggle with low self-confidence while others have problems with over self-confidence. Now, we're going to notice both of these in our study this morning. We'll notice, first of all, low self-confidence, and we'll talk about that for an instant or two, and then we'll go to the over self-confidence. And either one of these can cause us to fall short as far as the service of God is concerned. A lack of self-confidence or over self-confidence, either one can cause us to stumble and fall and to be outside of where God wants us to be. Well, today let's discuss these two different extremes, and we'll start out, first of all, as I said, by talking about the low self-confidence. The Israelites, we're all familiar with the Israelites. You remember that they had been down in the land of Egypt since Joseph was sold down into Egypt, and then his family moved down, and they were there for some 430 years. And they cried out to God because of the taskmasters and how that they were servant slaves down there, and God sent Moses and Aaron down into Egypt to lead them out of the land of Egypt and lead them to the promised land. Now, the promised land was the land of Canaan, where God had promised Abraham many years before that through his seed that they would receive this promised land. Now, I want us to notice some things about that promised land now as we start studying this morning. Israel had been led by Moses with the help of God through the Red Sea, out of the land of Egypt and through the wilderness, and now they're at the land of Canaan, ready to enter into the promised land to conquer this land. Now notice I said to conquer this land. We said that God had promised to give them the land of Canaan, and He did. He said this is a gift unto them. But now people had not built these cities and just walked off and left them to where Israel could go in and start living there just like they had been there all their life. There was something that they had to do in order to have this promised land that God had offered unto them. And they had to go in and conquer this land. God had promised them that He would give them this land, but there was something that they had to do in order to have this land. Now, Jesus has promised us eternal life through His blood, but there's something that we have to do in order to have that eternal life that He's promised us in His Word, and we'll notice that comparison as we get into our lesson a little bit further today. They had seen the power, talking about the Israelites, they had seen the power of God down in the land of Egypt, all the plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians to get the king to let them go. They had seen all these. All this was the power of God and how that there were things happening to the Egyptians that was not happening to them, that God was watching over them. So there was no doubt that they had seen the power of God. They had seen the power of God when they came out to the Red Sea. And here was Pharaoh's army on one side and the Red Sea on the other, and how that God worked there. And the cloud went between the camp of Israel and the camp of the Egyptians so that no one passed back and forth the whole night. And God said to Moses to reach forth his hand across the sea, and it would go back on each side. And there was an east wind that blew that night. And so the next morning, Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground with a wall of water on either side as they walked through. Now, they had seen this. So they knew something of the power of God. They knew what kind of position they were in there at the Red Sea. And yet God saved them from this. And they were able to walk through that Red Sea on dry ground and walk out on the other side and then see Moses as he stretched his hand back over the sea. And God brought the waters back together. The Egyptian army was drowned there in the sea. So no doubt these people knew something about the power of God and that the power that God had to help them and how that He was able to conquer these things for them. The promises that He had made unto them for this promised land should not have been any doubt to them but what God would give them this land. Now Moses sent out 12 men to spy out the land of Canaan. Now, if we go back to Numbers chapter 13, and I want to notice the first three verses of Numbers chapter 13. So open your Bible there if you'd like to, and then we'll turn over and read a few verses on down further in the chapter. But this explains what God said to Moses, beginning with verse 1, chapter 13, Numbers. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." Now notice God said, "I'm giving this land to the children of Israel," but they got to go in and fight for it. They got to go in and conquer it. So I'm giving this land to the children of Israel. "For each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man." There were 12 tribes of Israel. And so from each one of these tribes, they were to take the head of each tribe to send in as a spy so they could spy out this land that we're talking about. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the commandment of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now, this is what God had told Moses to do. Now, on over in verse 17 of the same chapter, let's read on further. "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities that they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there is forest there or not. And be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.'" And so it says, now the time that they were there was the first fruit, first ripe grapes. And it goes on the next few verses and tells about them cutting down one cluster of grapes. And it was big enough they put it on a pole and carry it between the two men on their shoulders. And so this was what was there in this land. So let's go back now and talk a little bit more about this. Now these men, these 12 men, one from every tribe were sent to spy out the land. Now, we're told down about verse 25 of this chapter that they came back to report to Moses. Let's pick up our reading with about verse 23. "And they came to the valley of Eshcol, and they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes and carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs." The place that was called the valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the men of Israel cut down. "And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran in Kadesh, and brought back word to them of all and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land." Well, this cluster of grapes that they brought back, they showed them this. Now here's what they said. "Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us, and truly it flowed with milk and honey. And this is the fruit.' And so they showed the grapes that they brought back. 'Nevertheless,' they said, 'the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very, very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the giants that was there.'" So this is what they saw. Now, let's notice. These 12 men, they came back, and this is the report that they bring. They said the land flows with milk and honey. So God had said this would be a land of milk and honey, and so they said there's no doubt but what that is right. They also showed the fruit that would show that this was the case. But they also said it had many strong people and large fortified cities, and giants were there. Now, if you go on down a little bit further in that same chapter, it says down about verse 33, I guess it is, that the giants were there and said that we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And we look like grasshoppers in our own sight, too. And so the people then listened to these 10 spies and caused their confidence to be the wrong way. They lost their self-confidence that they had, even though they knew what God was able to do and how that God had brought them through the Red Sea and brought them this far to where they were right at the gate of going into this city that God had promised unto them. Now, it said 10 of the spies brought this evil report. There were 2 of them that did not. Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do this with God's help. Let us go do it." Now, that's the kind of men that they needed, but the 10 of the spies said, "No, we can't do it. We're too small in their sight. We cannot do that. This land is one that does away with its own inhabitants," and so forth. The people allowed the 10 spies to cause them to lose their self-confidence and even threatened to stone Joshua and Caleb, the one that said, "We can do it with God's help. We can go in and take this land." And so they threatened to stone them and to select a leader and to go back to the Egyptian bondage where they were to start with. Now, this is they'd lost their confidence. When we lose our confidence in God and in ourselves, then we lose the ambition to move forward in our Christianity. They lost their ambition to move forward to go into this promised land, even though it was what they were looking for. This is what they were traveling for. Why they journeyed through the wilderness and through the Red Sea and all the things that they put up with. They were doing that so that they could enter into this promised land. But now, just one little slip like this, and they've lost their confidence, and they're ready to go back to Egyptian bondage again instead of working a little bit for what God has promised unto them. When we lose our confidence in God and in ourselves, then we lose our ambition, as I said, to go forward, to do whatever it is that we're trying to do. And living the Christian life is one of those things. We're talking about walking the narrow way, living the Christian life. And so if we lose our confidence in God and our confidence in ourselves, then we're not going to do much to try to be the Christian that we ought to be. The road to heaven can be difficult. It's not easy. You know, one of the translations says that it's the narrow gate and the difficult way that we're traveling, or the hard way that we're traveling. So the road to heaven can be difficult. Sometimes we're tempted to go back to our sinful ways because it's a lot easier to live the sinful life than it is to live the Christian life. And that's what these people thought. You know, it'd be a lot easier for us to just go back to Egyptian bondage than it would to go in and to fight all these people in this land to take this land. But we must remember, when God is on our side, it doesn't matter how large the giants are or how strong the fortified cities are, we can be victorious. With God on our side, no one else can defeat us. With God, all things are possible. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. He said, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." And he'd just been talking about the rich young ruler who had gone away because of his riches and so forth. And Jesus made the statement how hard it was for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it was for a rich man to enter into heaven. And the apostles said, "Well, who then can be saved? If a rich man can't be saved, then who can be saved?" And Jesus said, "With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now we want to notice a second example also of someone with the lack of self-confidence that they ought to have. Now, if you'll turn over to 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, I want to begin reading down about verse 6 and go down through about verse 14. In 1 Samuel chapter 6, let me clean my eyes a little bit. I get so much water in my eyes, I can't have to see what I'm trying to read. Verse 6 beginning. "When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed." Now, if you go back and read about this, this was Saul and Jonathan. And Jonathan had attacked the Philistines, and they were mad, and they came back in with a vengeance, and they were coming after the Israelites. And when they saw this danger, then they became very distressed. Then the people hid in caves and thickets and rocks and holes and pits, and some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan onto the land of Gad and Gilead. And for Saul, he was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. So here they were afraid because of what the Philistines might do unto them. And you go back to where it describes the Philistine army, it said they were about like the sand of the sea as far as number was concerned. There were so many of them, and all the chariots and horses and so forth that were coming against Israel. In verse 8 it says, "Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, 'Bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me.' And he offered the burnt offering, and it happened as soon as he finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him. that he might greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Mishmash, then I said, 'The Philistines is now coming down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supposition to God. Therefore, I felt compelled to offer a burnt offering.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be the commander of his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.'" So here was Saul now, who let his self-confidence get the best of him and caused him to do things that he was not supposed to do. First of all, his self-confidence caused him to sin against God. When he felt that his enemies was closing in on him, then the people were being scattered, then he decided not to wait for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice like he was supposed to do, but he would do it himself. And Samuel told him that he had done wrong by doing this. Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of thy Lord." And if he had kept the commandments of the Lord, then he said, then the kingdom would have been established forever. But you've not kept the commandments of the Lord, and so the Lord has sought for him another man, one after his own heart, that will keep his commandments. And you know, sometimes Christians make poor decisions also. When they feel pressured by the world to do whatever it is that that the world wants them to do instead of doing what God wants them to, sometimes they make foolish decisions as well. Sometimes we make foolish decisions as well. If we feel like the peer pressure, you know, we've talked about that, heard that all of our life, and it's not just with children, it's with grown-ups as well. And just like with Saul, he felt that pressure, felt like he needed to do something, and so he did something that he was not supposed to do. And Samuel said that he had acted foolishly in doing that. Well, we do the same thing. If we feel pressure sometime with the world and the things that they're doing, things that they're practicing, and we want to be like the world, and we do those things just like Saul did. We do the wrong thing, and God is not pleased with that. Those with low self-esteem will compromise God's word to please the world. Now, how many times has God's word been compromised to please the world? How many times is it being? Even this morning, in cases there are those who are compromising the word of God to please the world. That's not pleasing in God's sight. This is a big mistake. The word of God should never be compromised, no matter how hard the world tries to make us change. And the devil's going to try hard to get us to change and do things that are wrong instead of doing the things that are right. Compromising his word will cause us to sin, and God will not be pleased with us because he hates worldly ways. God hates sin, and he wants us to hate sin as well. Now let's turn to the other extreme now and talk about the over self-confidence. And we have examples of that as well. Now turn back to the book of Genesis, all the way back to chapter 11 of the book of Genesis. And I want us to read a few verses there from Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, and let's begin with verse 1 of Genesis chapter 11, and we'll read down about the first 9 verses there. "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Let us make brick and bake them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower, whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of man had built. And the Lord said, Indeed the people are one, and they all speak the same language or have the same language, and this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them." Since they have the same language and so forth, they'll whatever's in their mind, they'll try to do it. "So God said, 'Come, let us go down and there and confuse the languages, or the language that they may not be unable to understand one another's speech. And verse 9 says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of all the earth, and from the Lord and there the Lord scattered them abroad over all the face of the earth. And that's what God wanted them to do to start with, was to be scattered over the earth. But they was going to make them a name to where they could stay there and not be scattered abroad. So the people became so confident in themselves that they decided they didn't need God. They could do whatever they wanted to do. They built their own city. They had a tower that reached into the heavens and so forth. So what it was that came on their mind, they could do it because they were of one heart. They were of one language. They set out to build a city and a tower reaching into heaven to make a name for themselves, lest they be scattered over all the earth. So they wanted to be together, and they were doing this on their own. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of God had built, but God was not pleased with what he saw. They were not doing what he wanted them to do. He said that they are all of one language, and nothing that they purpose to do would be withheld from them. Whatever it is that they want to do, they'll try to do that. So God confused their languages so they cannot understand one another, and the building stopped. Now you can understand why the building would stop. You got 20 men out here trying to build a building, and no one understands what the other says. Now, here's a man asks for a brick, and he may bring him a bucket of water. You don't know. You don't understand what he says. Now, you can see how confusing that would be. So it was a simple thing. God just confused their languages, and that stopped the building of the place that built the city and the tower. No amount of self-confidence could make them more powerful than God. It didn't matter how much self-confidence they had. They were not more powerful than God. He was the one that was in control. So he scattered them over the face of all the earth. And this kind of self-confidence is what we're seeing today in many areas. There are a lot of people who have this kind of confidence, which we said is not the kind of confidence that pleases God. Some become so confident in their ability and their technology and in their doing the good deeds that they're doing and so forth that they think that they don't need God anymore. So they try to cast God out of their life. They think they're going to be saved by their good deeds that they're doing, and they're going to get to heaven by their own good deeds and by their own ways. But you know, the Bible shows how that man cannot save himself. It takes God to save man. They teach that God doesn't exist in some areas, or that God is dead, that God doesn't see, that God doesn't care, that all you have to do is just pray and say, accept me into your spirit or into your group. All you have to do is just to do whatever seems right to you, and that'll be right in the sight of God. All of these things are people with too much confidence. They have more self-confidence than they know what to do with. They push God out of their lives and rely on man instead of relying on God. Man cannot save himself. As it said, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. It makes him think that he's something great when really he's not. And so these people thought they were great. They could build their own city. They could make their own name for themselves. They could be together all their life because they wanted to be. Only God can give us eternal life. Man cannot do that. So just think about how weak we are without God in our lives. What could we do without God? Nothing at all. And so our overconfidence sometimes can cause us to do things that we ought not to do. Let's notice one other example, and then we'll bring our lesson to a close today. Turn to the book of Matthew for our last example. In the book of Matthew in chapter 26, and this is a familiar example that we're using here this morning. Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to begin reading at verse 30 and read down through about verse 35. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into Mount Olivet. And Jesus said unto them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, that this night before the rooster crows you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Now here's overconfidence that we're talking about here. Peter thought that he was ready to suffer even death before he would deny the Lord. Jesus knew that Peter was not ready. He knew that his spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. And so he said, Peter, before the rooster crows this night, you'll deny me three times. And the Lord told him that he would. While being confident in ourselves is a good thing, overconfidence can cause us to fail just like Peter did here. Peter was overconfident, and he thought sure that he was ready to die even for the Lord. Peter's overconfidence caused him to fall hard. You know, he not only denied the Lord one time or two times, but he denied him three times. And only Luke tells us that whenever the rooster crowed, that Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and that Peter went out and wept bitterly. So he fell hard. His overconfidence caused him to fall hard. It causes us to think within our minds that we're ready for challenges when really we're not ready. Paul, I think, understood this, and he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And that's what we're talking about here, that over self-confidence they will have. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so we must never think more highly of ourselves than we should. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to everyone, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We get to thinking sometime that we're too high to sin, that we just don't sin. Well, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're a liar when we say that we do not sin, because God says that we do. We need to be able to say like Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. We need to be able to say with him that I am now being offered. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness in heaven, and that's what God has done. Jesus Christ said he would go build a place for us, and he would come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, that we might be also. Now today, if you need to obey the gospel in any way, if you've never obeyed the gospel, never been baptized for the remission of your sins, and you are ready to do that, we're ready to help you to do that this morning. Or if there are those who have been overconfident, maybe, and done things that you shouldn't have done, have failed the Lord in some way, and you need to make correction for that, we're here to help you do that as well. So we're going to sing the song now that Tim has selected as an invitation song. And if you need to come, do that while we stand and as we sing.
Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed? Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, why can I not adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee and the evermore.
I'd like to thank Brother Bobby for an excellent lesson this morning. It is so good to be able to be here and to be able to sing praises to God and to be able to study from His Word. It's truly a blessing. At this point in our service, we're going to take this time to help prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. To help us do that, we're going to sing the song Lamb of God, number 100 in our blue book.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent Him from your side to walk upon this guilty side and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb, wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified, they laughed and scorned Him as He died. The humble King they named a sacrifice the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb. So lost I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Good morning. If you'd like to open up your Bible to the first chapter of Romans, I'm going to take a little bit of a reading there this morning as we gather around the table. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in his holy scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Paul begins this writing by declaring himself to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And while just a few words later he calls himself an apostle, he wants the idea that he is first and foremost a servant of the Lord. And as a servant, along with being that apostle, he has been entrusted with the awesome responsibility to bring those in allegiance to Jesus, specifically the Gentiles. In verse 2, he tells us that the gospel of God was promised by God beforehand by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And if we look back at the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold our your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." The gospel was a messenger that was coming to Jerusalem, bringing the good news, Babylon's defeat, the end of Israel's exile, and the return of God to his people and to Zion. This is what the good news meant to the Jewish mind: the restoration of a relationship with God, God dwelling with his people, and the nation restored from exile. Verse 3 and 4 tells us that the gospel is about the Son. Jesus is the good news of a king's ascension. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise. And thus the gospel, the good news, must be declared. It is the announcement of Jesus as the Messiah and Lord. Verse 5 continues, and it says, "It is through Jesus that the apostles have received the grace of apostleship." Notice carefully, the purpose of his apostleship was to call the Gentiles into a covenant relationship with the one true God, so that Jesus might be glorified through the world. The gospel that focuses on the Son was designed to bring all nations and people to the obedience of faith. So as we gather around the table this morning, let's end with this big idea. First, the bad news before we can appreciate the good news. Man was lost in their sins. Man was separated from God. God had separated himself because of their sinfulness, but as promised in Isaiah, good news was coming. The good news was that God would dwell with his people again, the covenant restored, the blessings would return. The good news was specifically about Jesus. About Jesus, because he is the one who would make these things happen. Jesus can be the king in the kingdom of God because he was the descendant of David. He is the fulfillment of prophecies, the Messiah to the Jews, a Savior to us. Through the resurrection, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God and the Lord of the world, ruling over the nations. Jesus is Lord. And that is good news, because it is through Jesus that we have a relationship with the Father again. It is through Jesus that we have the blessings of God poured out on us. It is through Jesus that we are in a covenant with our Father. It is through Jesus that we are part of the family that God promised to Abraham. It is through Jesus that we have God with us. And it is through Jesus that we have truly come out of exile, the exile of sin and death, and are given true life, true living, and the hope of eternal life. In the words of Isaiah, it is through Jesus that the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah 52:10. This is the gospel of God. This is the good news found in Jesus. Will you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for the good news that you've given to us, Father, that through your love that you sent Jesus to die on the cruel cross, Father, so that we could have all the blessings that you bestow upon us. Father, we're so very thankful for his willingness to go to the cross, Father, for his overcoming death to give us that hope of an everlasting life. Father, as we partake of these emblems this morning, we give thanks for this bread, remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made. Help us to always remember that sacrifice. Help us to always look to it in love, and help us to grow closer to one another here as together we share in this meal, Father. Help us to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made, the love that he had for us, the love that he had to go to that cross, the love that he had to shed his blood, all so that we could have a hope of eternal life. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear God, as we come together today, please help us to remember and keep in mind the sacrifice that was given to us and the love that was shown as Jesus gave his life and shed his blood so that we might be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did we accidentally overlook anyone?
By way of reminder, the contributions can be left out in the little box as you're heading out on your right. And then also, again, if you don't mind, the little cup and the little package for the bread, if you will, drop those in the can out there. I did want to say thank you to all of you. I mean, Bobby mentioned earlier about the congregation in Alabama and the trouble that they've had. But thankfully, everybody here has been safe so far. But a lot of that has to do with your willingness to come in and kind of do some of the things that we ask. We took a chance last week taking down some of the yellow caution tape to keep people from coming by, but nobody's tried to sit in those aisles that has caution on it. And we thank you for that, because really it's about keeping ourselves safe and spreading out as best we can. You know, confidence is a funny thing. Thank you for the sermon this morning. I remember when I was in college living with my dad. My dad's building a house. And you talk about, do you have confidence in somebody or in something? Well, my dad always thought that he was good at finding people to help save him a little bit of money. And, you know, people do that, especially when you're trying to build a house, right? Well, he goes upstairs, and there's a Jack and Jill bathroom up there, and the guy that's putting in the plumbing up there has a Plumbing for Dummies book out laying on the floor, literally trying to figure out what he was supposed to do. So, I guess all the confidence was lost in that, right? Spiritually speaking, though, we can go back to the words of Peter where he says, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So we can have confidence in that. So with that, Tim's going to lead us in a closing song and in a closing word of prayer.
Can I echo what Kevin said? It is great to see everybody here this morning. I am thankful for each and every one of you that are here, each and every one of you that have been watching here this morning or will be watching or listening on the website. Whatever it is, I am so thankful that we can, again, join in our thoughts and our minds as we worship God. But again, thankful for everybody that was here. It is so good to see you guys. And hope everybody has a good week. Please stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll look forward to meeting again next Sunday. Just to kind of put a bow on my thoughts from my first songs, again, from Jude 25, you know, to God be the glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. That book ends with before all time and now and forever. And when we think about God, God is eternal. He has been there before. He is here now. He will be forever. So we're going to sing a song to help close us out here. Our God, He is alive. Brother Bobby mentioned, you know, some people try to rub God out of the picture, think He's dead, He's not around, He doesn't care. Yes, He does, because our God is alive. And He lives forever, and He's always there for us. So we're going to sing the first verse of Our God, He is alive. Then we led in our closing prayer. Also, I forgot to mention earlier, we got a text. I believe Alyssa was also not feeling well this morning, so that's why they're not here as well. So we'll keep Alyssa also in our prayers at this time. We're going to see the first verse of Our God, He is alive. Sing. There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with His great might.
There is a God,
He is alive. In Him we live
and we survive.
From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Amen. If you would, bow with me forward to prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful that we had this time to be here this morning, to be able to worship You, to be able to just be around each other, and to be able to share in one another's company, and to be able to fellowship with one another. We're so thankful, dear Lord, for the health that we have to be able to do this. Please continue to help us to be safe and to be healthy so that we can continue to get stronger and to be able to continue to worship You. Dear Lord, please be with all of our loved ones again who we're mindful of that are suffering at this time, especially, as we mentioned, Brother John Dugan, help his back to get better very soon. Please be with Alyssa, help her to feel better soon as well, dear Lord. Please be with all of us and continue to help us if we fall ill, dear Lord. Please help us to have our health restored to us as quickly as possible. Please be with all of our loved ones who might be suffering with spiritual health. Please give them strength, give them encouragement, help them to look to you, dear Lord, for guidance and for strength. Always help us to be a strength for one another, dear Lord. Help us to be mindful of each other, and help us to be bright lights and shining examples to all that we're around. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.